While Australia has managed the pandemic well compared to other countries, it's also exposed flaws about who can get into the country. According to the federal government, more than 35,000 Australians are stranded, and around a third of them in India, where 209 are children. What rights are these children entitled to? I spoke with Associate Dean Law from Edith Cowan University Associate Professor Joshua Aston about it and started asking what the issue is about.
So as per the latest report, 209 Australian children are stuck in India, a country where COVID-19 continues to rage. And as you know, the parents of these Australian children have been pleading with the government to take urgent steps to bring these children back home and to reunite them with their families. Now, the situation couldn't be more pathetic. We have Australian children, some as young as 2.5, trapped in a country where the threat of the third wave of the virus has been looming. And there is a feeling among many, including the Indian community settled in Australia, that the government has not been doing enough to bring these children back home. These Australian minors have been trapped and are unable to travel since Australia, just like many other countries, closed its borders to the world due to the pandemic. These children have been living with their relatives and friends since then. Almost every family has lost either a relative or a friend due to this pandemic. And amidst this crisis, I can only imagine the mental trauma these Australian parents would be undergoing with their children stuck in India.
Now, could you please expand a bit more to our listeners about why these children are not with their parents but with family members in India?
Indeed. But to understand that, one would need to delve into the Indian culture and see what the Indian culture is all about and how Indian families conduct themselves despite being outside India. Now, the Indian society is collectivist, which means that it promotes interdependence and cooperation, with the family forming the focal point of social structure. So it is not absurd or bizarre that you would visit an Indian home in India and see 3 to 4 generations of, let's say, great-grandparents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, nephews, nieces, and several cousins living happily under the same roof. So under this joint family system and structure that exists in India, members share the same household, they have the same kitchen, and perhaps even a common account to which every family member contributes.
So legally speaking, what's the situation for Australians stranded overseas, but more particularly for these 200 kids that are stranded in India?
Yeah, so look, just like adults, children too have human rights. And in fact, children have special rights due to their vulnerability. And these are inalienable rights. Now, when I'm saying inalienable rights, I'm talking about natural rights. These are rights that can't be restrained or repealed by human laws. And we have Australia is signatory to a convention called the Convention on the Rights of the Child, 1989. And Australia signed and ratified this in as early as December 1990. Now, as per Article 9 of this convention, state parties are required to ensure that children are not separated from their parents against their will in ordinary circumstances, unless, of course, such separation in accordance with the applicable law is found to be in the best interest of the child. Now, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights also provides the widest possible protection of human rights. And the government cannot arbitrarily deny this right to its citizens. Since Australia does not have a Bill of Rights, of course, the lawfulness of the repatriation policies cannot be challenged in domestic courts of law. But the Australian federal government is duty-bound to report on the welfare of these stranded children to the United Nations Committee on the Rights of the Child, on how these children are faring and their role in protecting these children's rights.
Okay, now in your expertise, what do you think the government can implement to fix this big issue? I mean, we're not talking about only the 30,000 Australian stranded overseas, but about these particular 200 kids that are without their parents in India. What would you like to see implemented to fix this issue?
So I believe as a priority, either Australian government should allow these children to fly back with their parents. So probably parents would be permitted to travel back to India to bring these children home. Or probably the government would be able to appoint 10 to 20 child care workers to travel to India, where these children could be flown back under the supervision of these workers.
That was Associate Professor from Edith Cowan University, Joshua Aston.